Well, this morning, the next 2 weeks, we're going to be getting a series called Thrive. And the idea of that is that, I think sometimes in life, life beats on us and we just want to survive. And at the same time, God never meant us to live like that. He wants us to do more than that. In the words of Casting Crowns, we were made for so much more than ordinary lives. We were made to thrive. Switchfoot says it this way: you were meant to live for so much more. And then Jesus said it similarly. He said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full, meaningful, abundant, supernatural, eternal life. And so we're going to talk about what does it look like to live a life where you're thriving and not just surviving. So that's what we're going to be doing the next couple of weeks. I appreciate everybody's comments about the pots this morning already. It is Colorado, so you can go and say, hey, our youth pastor gave out pot this morning at church service. And so, and then we'll be filled next Sunday, and it'll be awesome. And so anyway, you can do that. So, but I appreciate the comments. So anyway, why don't I go ahead and pray? That's probably a good start. And then we'll get started. God, thank you for humor. Cheerful heart is good medicine. And thank you that you created us and have so much for us. And we pray over these next 2 weeks that we'll see what it means to live out those things that you call us to live. Father, thank you for this time where we can go to your word for the answers. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. And so if you have your Bibles, go ahead. What is that next screen? Also, just so you know, if you have these smartphones or a device, could be your iPad, you can follow along in the notes in there as well. And here, last time I had some people going, I can't figure out how this works. Okay, so if you have YouVersion, you have that little Bible symbol as an app, you go there. And when you pull it up, you come to your homepage. There's little dashes in the corner. You tap on that. You do. And it pulls up a screen. And if you hit live event, and you say search for a live event, it'll come up on there. Legacy Thrive, 2 Corinthians 4, excuse me. And you can have all the notes on there that you can take notes with as well. If you don't like these things, that's good. Then you can throw it away, and you can take your pen out, and you can keep notes in your notes that are provided in your bulletin as well. I like using technology. My Facebook and Twitter and accounts like that are used very much for the things of the Lord, and it's a great opportunity for me to do that. So it's a chance for you to use those as well. And then also you can take and share that notes with a friend. Say, here's what our pastor preached on this morning, and you can let them know, go to the live event, and they can find it, and they can find those notes as well. So anyway, enough about technology. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 today. And I titled the message, Crackpots, the Message of Christ and the Messenger of Christ. And so we're going to look at two things. You know, we're going to look at, really today is about focus. If we're going to live a life that means we're going to thrive and not just survive, we're going to be having to talk about where our focus is. What is our focus on? And this passage is a great passage about focus. And so we're going to be looking at that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to be read the first section there on the message of Christ. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. And the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. That'd be good. Yeah, there was a bottle under here, but I don't know if it's been there like 6 weeks or. Thank you. I'm not going through puberty again. I'm just can't speak. All right. For God who's for we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. God, help us to understand what this means then and in our lives today. Amen. First of all, the message of Christ. Says, first of all, just some points. That the message of Christ is first, it's through mercy. Okay? He says, he begins by saying, since through God's mercy. What is God's mercy? We know that grace is getting what we don't deserve. God's mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Understand? You and I as sinners, the Bible says we sin, and sin means that we're not perfect. Okay? And so all of us fall into this category. And so when we fall short, we sin. That's what the word means. And because we sin, we're separated from God. And it says the wages of sin is death, and that's fatal. Okay? That means we deserve punishment, and it's death. But because God loved us so much, he gave and punished his own son in our place so that we, if we believe, we can receive and we don't have to receive that punishment. That's God's mercy. Does that make sense? So God's mercy. So in view of God's mercy, so he says we have this ministry. It's through mercy. Paul knew how incredibly undeserving he was and how incredibly merciful and gracious God is, and he didn't lose heart. He knew God was still saving sinners because he was chief. Remember? Paul said, "I'm the worst of the worst." And he knew God was still saving sinners, so he knew God was merciful. So the message of Christ is first and foremost merciful. It's through mercy, okay? Secondly, it's not deceptive, but it's clear, okay? It says, rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception. Paul was getting blamed that he was in this thing for Jesus because he could benefit personally from it. And how many times have you heard pastors wanting you to give so that they can have a big church and a big car and all those kind of things, and in it for the money? Paul was saying, "I'm not that. That's not me. I'm not doing this out of deception." Okay? He says, "Nor do we distort the word of God." Okay? In other words, we don't tell you what it doesn't mean. We don't lie to you about the word of God. We teach you plainly and clearly what it means. We want to teach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing what? But the truth when it comes to the scripture. Okay? And so, he says, on the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He's saying, you know, talk to the Lord. We have a clear conscience that we are preaching the truth as best we know how. And so, the message of Christ is through mercy, and it's not deceptive, but it's clear and it's truthful. Okay? We want to do that. We don't want to get caught manipulating people. We don't want to get caught being a smooth talking speech that just gets you to believe because we were a smooth talker. We want you to believe and receive because of the truth. Does that make sense? Thirdly, it's veiled to unbelievers. Paul had been accused, he had been blamed for the message and blamed himself too. He had been blamed. And he was saying, you know what? It's not me. It's the hearers who had the problem. And here's the deal. It says, even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. In other words, you ever have an unbeliever not understand? I am never surprised when an unbeliever doesn't get it about Jesus because they are blinded. And here's, write this one down. Blind people can't see. All right? Right? Okay? And so that doesn't surprise me. What surprises me is somebody who claims to know Jesus and can't understand and can't see. But it doesn't, you know, we have a whole community out here that it's okay that they're not here on Sunday mornings because they don't have any reason to be here. They don't need, know. They don't have anybody who's told them. They don't have anybody, they're blinded. And by the way, they are not the enemy. They are POWs. They are prisoners of war captured by the enemy. And it's our job to rescue them. Okay? It's our job to rescue them. And Paul was saying it's veiled to unbelievers. The god of this age, who is Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see. Okay? They won't get it until God opens their eyes and their minds. And you know what that takes? That takes our praying, first of all. We need to be in prayer for our friends who don't know Jesus. We need to be praying because God does amazing things when we pray. We need to be praying. But they cannot see the light of the gospel. They don't understand it. The glory of Christ. I am clear living proof of that. Man, I guarantee you, I'm sure people told me about Jesus, but I didn't get it growing up. I didn't know Christ. I didn't come to Christ until I was 21 years old. And nobody, you know, I was blind. Okay? I didn't know. They don't see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus is Lord. Christ is Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let the light shine out of darkness, may his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Again, it's veiled to unbelievers. Then it's Christ-centered, not man-centered. And this is where we're going with our focus today, okay? All right? Paul preached Christ with humility, all right? But that was his focus. We do not preach ourselves. Christ was the focus, the crucified Lord, okay? Oftentimes, we think life is about us. And even all the marketing for churches today is it's about everybody else. It's about getting people here. It's about getting, and you know, it's crazy. I'm not against some of that stuff. But what I'm saying is it's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about God. And we have to keep that. If we're going to live a life that means we're going to thrive, we have to be focused. Okay? And all the commercials we watch, it's all about you. You deserve a break today. You know, you deserve all this. All this stuff is you deserve, right? Yeah, they don't have a commercial that says you deserve to be punished for your sins. Because that one wouldn't sell, you know, whatever they're selling, trying to sell. You know, that wouldn't do that. So anyway, it's Christ-centered, not man-centered. Verse 5, again, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ is Lord and ourselves as servants. And then finally, it states that Jesus is God. Okay, when we're talking about truth, we're talking about the message, okay? The message is that Jesus is God. The message is that Jesus is who it's all about, okay? For God who said, let light shine in darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Again, the same God who created the physical light in the universe to see physically is the same God who must create spiritual light in our heart and soul, right? To know Jesus is God incarnate. God came in the flesh. That's what that means. And that's Christmas, okay? And so, again, the message is all about Jesus. It's about God. Now we come to the transition verse here. And it's telling us it's between message and messenger. And that's where we're going to go now. So that's the message of Christ. It's through mercy. It's not deceptive, but it's clear and truthful. We're not tricking people. It's veiled to those who don't understand, don't believe because they haven't believed and received yet. Okay? It's Christ-centered, not us-centered. And it's saying that Jesus is God. If you've seen Jesus, if you've met Jesus, you've met God. Well, secondly, it's about the messenger of Christ. But we have this treasure, verse 7, in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that this life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The first part about the messenger is that I put down here, the messenger is a crackpot. And here's what I mean by that. You have pots. Again, it's a jar. It says, we have this treasure, this amazing message of Christ in jars of clay. People, you and me. Again, the word there is, literally, it's clay pots. And you know what clay pots are, don't you? It's dirt baked hard. And that's us. That's us here, okay? What do we know about clay pots? They're common. They're disposable. They're replaceable. They would leak and chip and crack. They're not really all that attractive. They're easily broken and discarded, but here's the deal. They're useful. Why would God take the most amazing message in the universe and put it in stuff like that? I'll tell you why. Because that's how he wants his message communicated, through broken vessels like you and me. Now, I brought some pots here today. There's all different kinds. You know, there's big, there's small, there's some that's very beautiful, there's some that's like Garden Ridge pottery kind of pots. Okay? But they come in all different sizes. Does the size matter in this passage? Does the look of the pot matter in this passage? Not at all. Just that there's all different kinds, right? Just like there's all different kinds of you and me in here, right? This one has a crack down. I tried to get them to discount it for me, but they wouldn't. This one's got a little crack down it. And you know what these things are like. They're fragile. If you've ever having these in your yard, and, you know, they don't necessarily last real long, right? And they fall over, and they chip, and they crack, and they bust. And it doesn't take much to break, right? Okay? Now, how many of you in your yards just put the pots out by themselves and just, you have them out in front of your house and go, wow, the people drive by and go, what beautiful pots. Is that what people do? No, that'd be really embarrassing. If that's just you, I'm sorry. Okay? Okay, but that would be embarrassing because it's not about the pot. You put beautiful flowers in them, right? Or you put plants. And that's what makes things, it's beautiful, right? Because it's what's inside, right? It's what's in, and that's what he's saying. Now, here's what I want you to know. Being replaceable and disposable and common and not real attractive and easily broken and easily discarded does not mean invaluable. You get that? I want to show us a short video here that is really great and explains that. Does not mean invaluable. Because the best part of this passage is it says that we're useful. Okay? So if we watch that video.
This $20 bill, 11 days ago, was rolled up and used to snort cocaine. A young man overdosed, and in the ambulance, on the way to the hospital, he died. 8 days ago, this $20 bill was used to buy bullets. One of those bullets killed... This $20 bill, 11 days ago, was rolled up and used to snort cocaine. A young man overdosed, and in the ambulance, on the way to the hospital, he died. 8 days ago, this $20 bill was used to buy bullets. One of those bullets killed a 4-year-old's dad. 5 days ago, this $20 bill was used to pay a desperate woman to give up her body, because she doesn't think there's any other way to keep her children fed. Today, just like yesterday, this $20 bill is worth $20. Its value was determined the day it was printed. It doesn't lose value based on what it's done or what it's been used for. Just like you. No matter how you've been used or what you've done, you're still valuable.
I love that video. We're showing it on a series that we're doing for students called SALT. But what it says is this, is your value was determined when you were made in your mother's womb, Psalm 139. Before the beginning of time, when God determined you, your value was made there. And you are valuable, you are useful. Oh no, it's not till, it's a different video, sorry. Second video. It's okay, Damon. There's another video coming up. Because here's what we do. We live in a world where everything, our value is determined by who we are and what we do. And if that's the case, you know what? You're going to feel good about yourself some days and bad about yourself some days. But I want you to know that God loves you. And you want to know how valuable you are? You're so valuable that he would kill his own son for you. That's how valuable you are. So don't let these pots, whatever pot fits you today, don't let yourselves think that because I'm not the colored one or whatever, that I'm not valuable. You're valuable, you're useful, and God took the greatest message he could ever have and put it in you and me if you're a believer, and it's the message. And you're valuable because you carry that amazing message, because God created you in his image, okay? So about the messenger of Christ, first of all, we're a crackpot, but we're useful. Isn't that okay? Are you okay with being useful and valuable? I am. Secondly, the messenger of Christ also has battle scars. Listen to what he says here. We are hard-pressed, and maybe this is you where you're at today or this week. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck but down but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Again, the idea here is that life is hard, but God is good. Did you get that? Life is hard, but God is good. And life is, you know, when you look at this, there's times you're going to be hard-pressed. You're going to be perplexed. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be struck down. You're going to be discouraged and depressed and lonely. That's part of life, and God knows, and he knows. All right? But here's the deal, is God is good in the midst of all that. We can lose sight of that. We are dealing with all kinds of mental health in our country and our world that is getting worse because our bodies are in a downward spiral. Why wouldn't we expect that things are going to be getting worse? Okay? But we got to be better at helping people who are dealing with that kind of stuff. All right? So the messenger of Christ has battle scars. They're going through tough stuff as well. Paul always faced physical death himself, but was not afraid to do that for Christ. Okay? In our weakness, God gives strength. And so, the messenger of Christ. Next, the messenger of Christ can't shut up about Jesus. Okay? It's interesting. Today, we got to tell Christians to speak up. In the days of the early church in Acts, they had to tell Christians to shut up. Right? Isn't that true? You know, one of the things I have to say, because of my background and all this lousy life I was in and midst of it, and God saved me out of an amazing deal, I'm just a very grateful person. But nobody has ever had to tell me, hey, you need to go tell your friends about Jesus. I've always wanted to, because I want them to experience the same forgiveness, love, acceptance, all that I experienced. And so, the messenger of Christ can't shut up about Jesus. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, he's saying. because we know that the one who raised Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus. You know what? We're going to be raised as well. This is awesome. And he says, with Jesus, and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow with the glory of God. When you really fall, when you come to know Jesus and you believe and you receive, gratefulness ought to be one of the first things that comes. You know, Christians, I really believe Christians are the most thankful people in the world. Okay? We shouldn't look like, you know, we're constipated, all right? We shouldn't, okay? We shouldn't have that kind of look on our face. We should be the most grateful people in the world because no matter what happens, we got Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean that things aren't hard, because life is hard. Okay? And then fourthly, the messenger of Christ perseveres despite circumstances. He says, we therefore do not lose heart, though outwardly we're wasting away. Okay? How many understand that? You know, I used to read Ecclesiastes chapter, Ecclesiastes, wow, that's a new verse. New Bible book. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I used to read through it and go, what is that? Now I'm reading through it and go, that's not funny. Because it's all about your body going. And you're like, you know, it's talking about your hair turning gray. And mine's not turning gray, but it's turning loose. And so you're talking about, you know, your teeth. The chompers are few. And I'm like, that's not funny. I've had dental work. I need crowns now, and that's not funny. And, you know, you're just sitting reading through that. I used to read through and go, whatever. And now you read through and go, that's not funny, God. It's not good. But your bodies are, these bodies are going. If we all live long enough, they're going. Even all our teenagers right here, awesome, they're going. Anyway, the day will come. And I've been given, I know, darn, the day will come. You know, I've been given good health, and I feel pretty healthy for 53, you know. Not bad for a young guy, but I'm just saying, they're going. So they persevered during circumstances, going back to the passage. Though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. If you keep your focus, and here's the focus part. If you keep your focus on the Lord, what does he say? His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And he will be renewed, and he will give you the strength to rise up on wings like eagles. And he can do that. But when we lose focus, we don't receive that. We miss that sometimes. Does that make sense? I'm not going to have a raise of hands, but how many of us have gone through stuff and our focus suddenly became on us? And you know what? Life is miserable. And it is, you know, because life is hard. But when we get refocused, you know, there's a song that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth grow strangely dim in light of his glory and grace. You know, if we focus on this, we're not going to be too impressed. It's going to get frustrating. But man, when our focus is on the Lord, we can begin to thrive, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. And you know what? Eventually, hopefully, you know, whatever season we're in, God wants to help us through those seasons. And so we have the treasure versus the clay pots. The treasure, the message, the inside, the spiritual, the unseen, the eternal. Then you have the clay pot. It's the messenger, the outside, the physical, the seen, the temporary. And so, and here's what I know as well, is that when we, when our focus is right, I really believe we can accomplish much more through Christ than we think we can. God says, "I, there's no temptation that has come upon us that isn't common to man." In other words, everybody else has had to face stuff like this. But God is faithful, who will not let you to be tempted, what, beyond your able. And how many of you have ever been there going, okay, God, I'm real close? Because I've been there with you. I've been that with God. Been real close. But he will not let you be tempted beyond what you're able. But with that temptation, we'll also provide a way of escape. And that's always me, like, yes, let the verse end there. But it doesn't. Because I'm the escape route. Just get me out of this, God. Okay? But the verse, it doesn't end there. It says, so that he may help you through that. And I really believe that when our focus is not on us, and it's on the Lord, we're able to do much more than we think we are through him who gives us strength. And here's a video, and then Damon, after this, you can come up. Here's a video that kind of, I love this because it explains that. So.
All right, let's go. Show me something. 10 yards. Move it. Move it. Let's go. Let's go, Matt. Let's go. Let's go, Jonathan. Show me something. 10 yards. Show me some power. No knees. Keep your knees off the ground. Show me something. There you go. 10 yards. Show me some muscle. Show me some power. Give me some heart. Let's go.
I'm so glad I don't have football
practice
anymore.
Very good, boy. Very good. Let's run it back.
Oh, man. Oh, man. It's not even funny, dude.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
50. I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I want you giving up at a certain point when you could go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right, let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground, just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left, a little bit left. There you go. It's going to be good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left, a little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Am I at the 20 yet?
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. I'm just resting a second.
You got to keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on, keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm about out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength, but don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit! No! Keep going! Keep going! Keep going! Don't quit! Don't quit! Don't quit! Brock Kelly, you don't quit! Keep going! Keep going! No, Brock Kelly! You don't quit on me! No! You keep going! You keep going! Go, Brock! 10 more steps! 10 more! 10 more! 10 more! Keep going! Don't quit! Give me your heart!
I can't do it!
You can! You can! Five more! Five more! Come on, Brock! Come on! Don't quit! Don't quit! Come on, Brock! Two more! One more!
Let's go to the 50!
I've got this with me. I don't have any more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field on your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I weigh 160.
We have this treasure in jars of clay. Why? Not so we'll look good. Because it says so that all his all-surpassing power, they'll see it's from God, not us. And when we focus on the unseen, like Brock, this useful vessel, though cracked and chipped and common, can bring this amazing message and can get us to do more than we ever think we can through Christ who strengthens us, right? Now, I don't know that God's yelling, don't give up. But I know that's what he's saying. Don't quit. Don't stop. I know what you're going through. Don't stop. I'm here with you. Don't stop. I have this treasure in you that I want others to see, to experience, to hear. That's our challenge this week. A couple things I want you to do. Number one, am I a crackpot or a veiled vessel? No, either we're one of the two, right? We're either a crackpot, we know Jesus, and we're that vessel, or we don't, and we're blinded. And if you're blinded, believe today that Jesus died for you in your place. He loves you. He cares for you. And he put his son on the death row for you and me. If you are, then we have this amazing message we get to share. Secondly, can you clearly share that message with someone? Are you able to? And maybe you don't fully understand. You have believed and you've seen your need for Jesus, but you don't fully understand. You didn't have the guy who met with me twice or once a week for 2 years. You didn't have somebody like that. But we want to help you. And next week, we're going to talk about that a little more. You can put up the next slide. Here's what your life work is this week. I don't give homework because nobody likes homework, and I don't like homework. I never did, and that says a little bit about my schooling. But life work is good because life work, if you do it, it'll help you in your life. And here's what I want you to do. You have a little cracked pot, maybe not cracked. I want you to write on there, and there's some markers up here if you want to do this afterwards. 2 Corinthians 4:7 on it. I want you to keep this somewhere where you're going to see it all week long. And when you see this, I want you to remember, yeah, this didn't cost much, maybe, or this is common, this is ordinary, it's chips, it breaks, it cracks, but it's useful. And I am useful and valuable before the Lord. Okay? Never, 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 never forget how useful and valuable you are before the Lord. Okay? Second thing, I want you to memorize the gospel that's on this card. Our students have done it, now I'm giving it to the adults. I want you to memorize it by next Sunday. We're going to walk through that, and we'll see how well you did. And I'm going to challenge this. Not for making a presentation, but for beginning conversations with your friends and your family and your neighbors. And maybe you're not able to even get out. You can write a note. You can write a card to send somebody, a letter. You can call somebody up. You can text somebody. And I'm going to ask God to give us an opportunity to share the truth that's on this card with somebody this week. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you say we're valuable and useful. And that is awesome. What's more awesome is this message you've given us. The good news of Jesus that everybody needs to hear. And how can they hear unless someone is sent? God, I pray this week you'll give us an opportunity to have a conversation with someone about you. It'd be great to come back next week and hear these conversations from different ones in this room that they've began to have about you so that you can be Lord in these people's lives. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.